Testing, checking. Yes! Let's go!
This is the Family Cast! This is the Family Cast! Food and music is life! Yes! Food!
Check 1, 2, yes, it's me, Chef Yosh. You're listening to The Family Cast, Food and Music is Life, yes. Decided to play a little bit of this music behind me. It is by Toilet Rats, that's right, Toilet Rats, from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it's a synth punk project. Most of the songs sound like, kind of like this, but there's also some different sounding ones too on the new EP on Steadfast Records, Toilet Rats. Check it out a little bit right here. Check it out a little bit right here. Yeah, so funny story was apparently this guy Tommy Rats from Toilet Rats, he was out in California or something like that, or somehow he knows my mom, or my mom like took him to some restaurant. They were on tour and they didn't have any money, and she saw them and she's like, hey, looks like you guys want some lunch or something. So I guess my mom helped them out, or took them to either gave them money to go get burgers, or took them to a restaurant on a Sunday afternoon or something like that. But you know, touring musicians, they could use all the help they can get. So they did it, and he's like, hey, he just reached out recently. He's like, hey, I think your mom helped us out like 20 years ago when we were on tour or something like that. So I just wanted to share this music with you and tell your mom she's awesome, which is true. My mom is awesome. Shout out to Carmelita. So on today's episode, I'm talking to two homies, Joe Yerke and Reese Roper. So this is part two of me being on the Pickle and Boot Shop show. This time it's on this show, and longtime homies goofing around. Last time it was just Joe and I. This time it's Joe and Reese and I. So if you don't know who Reese is, he sings in a band called Five Iron Frenzy. They are some fun ska-loving nerds, and really good friends and really good music. So this is just all three of us chewing the fat for it's a little bit longer episode because we couldn't stop talking because we love each other so much. But yeah, before I get into that, it's gonna start soon. Don't worry about it. Stop worrying. But anyways, it's gonna be I'm just gonna say thanks. I'm gonna say you're welcome, and I'm gonna say thanks again. If you hear anything in the background, that's Xander talking to his friends. Yeah, he's playing The Crew on PS4. Looks pretty cool, whatever. What was I saying? Oh yeah. Share the show with a friend, follow on Instagram.com/thefamilycast, blah, 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 send me money, buy me coffee, all that kind of stuff. And I'll see you after this conversation with Joe and Reese here on The Family Cast. Let's dig in.
The last one that went out was you and I talking about my divorce. Hey!
Oh, look who decided to show.
All right, see you later.
Whoa, man, this beard is tripping me out, dude.
The beard, the Stranger Things shirt,
well,
the hat that looks like a rug that I had when I was in elementary school.
Hey, I got lots of these zarapes. They're flowing over here. But yeah,
what'd you just crack open?
Oh, this is a Carlsbad Crush Mosaic Pale Ale session.
Wow. Ooh.
Session Bev.
Oh,
Josh, how are you, dude?
Hi. I want that Han Solo jacket.
Thank you for noticing.
You nailed it, dude.
Han Solo.
You nailed
Empire
it.
Strikes Back.
He said that you were going to come on and be like, hey, who's the guy in the Han Solo jacket?
Oh, Marvel. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
This is just the glass. I'm like toasting you with Iron Man here.
He will toast me for sure. Huge fan.
Ooh.
I'm a huge fan.
Sometimes it's like this.
Hello, kitty.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Yeah, doing good. Doing good. I'm in short sleeves and you're in a Han Solo coat from the Tauntaun scene. So you must be colder than I am.
Yeah.
What's the temp there in Virginia? Virginia.
How do you do this? Hey, Siri, what is the temperature right now? 36 degrees.
You got us beat again. It's 37 degrees here.
Because we have all the control of the temperature.
Yeah.
Hey, like, Joe, I'm not.
Can I wear my Han Solo jacket?
I like it. No, I want one. I just would never be able to wear it. I have a question. I don't know about this Zencaster thing, but I need to turn Reese up.
Oh,
is
yeah.
there a way? Reese, can you do it?
I think Reese needs to do it.
What do I have to do?
I can't really hear much of your voice, and you have a luscious voice.
Yeah. I noticed it too. You're a little low.
I don't know if that fixes in post or.
It does.
It does.
Okay.
No,
I can't even.
But I don't want to miss anything you're saying.
Don't want to
miss a thing. Remember that, Joe? Remember that classic?
Mm hmm. Armageddon.
Les Dickenside has something to say.
What is this guy doing now?
That was.
Oh,
the,
he has
that's
something.
That's not
to
the
say.
Right button. He's got something he to something. Say.
Okay.
What about?
I mean, it's probably okay. I just.
That's not it.
I just want to feel like I hear every word that you're saying.
How does Zencaster even work? Why do we go back to Zen? Oh, call settings.
Try doing call settings and hopefully you don't get booted out of the room.
It's not working.
It's fine.
Joe, you do it. You're the host.
Don't futz with it.
It's up in the upper right-hand corner.
No, but once this is recording, like we're in recording mode.
Mm-hmm.
We're dead.
So once it's record, here, I can stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. If I stop it, you guys are both going to have to go back to your email, log back in.
Yeah, don't
Holy
do it.
Hell.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Did you already start? Stop it?
No, I didn't.
Who's last dick inside?
Mystery guest. I think that your headphones and your parka match your beard and your hair color very well, Mr. Groper.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And he's out in his ice shanty.
Are you fishing?
No, this is where I live, in this ice shanty.
The lawnmower shed?
Yeah.
Okay.
The lawnmower shed behind the Payless shoes.
What's in the Yeti? Is that ice water?
Ice water.
Ice water.
And I put a koozie.
Pickle and boot shop.
On the Yeti.
Well.
Oh, no, we just lost.
He's back.
We just lost.
I tried to click the button to see if it helped.
Greasy groper.
Don't touch it.
No touch.
Just like your mom said.
That's how you learn. That's how you learn.
So.
Yeah.
Josh,
hi.
Back. You're back on the show, reunited with Reese. You guys were both a part of Roper. Tell me about that.
Roper the musical?
Yes.
You go first, Josh.
X Roper X or Roper the musical?
Both.
Both or neither?
It's a long,
yeah,
long
it's a.
Road.
This is not only for Patreon subscribers, this is for OnlyFans and such. So, No, X Roper X, that was our Reese and I did a really, really, really hardcore side project, really 1996 hard. Through 1996, for 3.5 months. And we only toured Australia and Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
And, just all
in Taiwan,
all the lyrics we spoke like 10 different languages in the lyrics. We played all the
except English, no English. English. That was part of the hardcore.
Yeah, it was like, anti-colonization songs only, and and we only played satanic churches.
Yeah,
yeah. So very very hard to find. Very niche.
Very
very niche.
Very
just to point
niche.
Out how hardcore it was, we would purposely get in fights on stage
with each other,
and it. With each other.
Yeah. And we invite the audience to participate.
Yeah. At least 3 times Josh shot me.
Mm. Oh.
On stage.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. With the coronavirus.
As you can tell, it wasn't mortal, but I mean, I don't know if any of you out there have been shot, but it hurts.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
so I hear.
Lots of fun. Lots of fun. Mm-hmm. And then.
Good band. That was good.
Yeah. It was good.
Now, Josh. during our interview, mm-hmm. I don't think I allowed you.
Say it again.
The time. Yes. Allowed thought thou not, but mm-hmm. you do right now. You do. I want to hear more about these pairings.
Oh, shoot.
Well, we're on the subject, Josh. Hey,
wait, back to Roper, the musical.
yeah. But what you're doing now, because I have it on my notes. If you haven't with Grease Groper, it's like trying to keep chickens in line. Mm-hmm. So we got to stay focused. Okay. He's a man of the people.
Sure. Yep.
He's a brilliant mind like Dustin Hoffman in Tootsie. Tootsie. It was just about a woman who farted all the time.
Tootsie. Yeah.
Tootsie.
And got her hand cut off by machetes. Tootsie. Hutu and the Tootsies.
Yeah.
That was a sequel, Hutu.
Tootsie and the Maidles. Oh. They were a phenomenal
song. Sometimes in the front of house room at the kitchen, I'll just put on Toots and the Maytals radio. And it plays like a lot of songs that people know or like. They bop their head to it, you know, and they're okay. He's got a Gerber machete.
He's got a bread knife there.
I collect machetes.
Machete. Yeah.
Yes.
I like to call it machete.
Machete.
Machete the musical.
You collect machetes?
I have. Yeah, I actually do.
For real?
Yeah.
I bet you don't have this model. It comes from Harbor Freight Tools.
I don't. I know someone who has that model, though, because they're Harbor Freight
very
by our house.
Very hard to get.
Harbor.
Yeah. I have a buddy of mine who collects sabers, swords, and daggers from history.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And they have to be like authenticated, so they're not fakes. But he has like a saber from the 1600s.
Yeah.
What?
What do you got there? You got like a deer hoof.
This is a
sharpened bone from the Apache, from the Iroquois.
You're not too far off. This is from our tour in Alaska. And it's just a little necklace kind of knife. It goes around your head.
Yeah.
And then it's got a magnet in here, but this is like a handcrafted, it's actually a piece of a ship that was sunk in around Alaska. And
hold on. Number one. Jeez, look at that thing.
It's number one. Geez.
Number one. And B.
this looks like it was like forged on Mount Doom.
Yeah, this part's bone from.
Is it got some sort of flute built into it?
That's what I was thinking.
I haven't tested all of these notes, but if you do all of them, you bring up all the legends of bad stuff from the 80s movies.
Black Hole Sun, yeah, won't you come?
Dude, Joe is
the wash away.
Is that Chris Cornell?
No, that's not. We're today on the Pickle and Boot Show, ladies and gentlemen. Karaoke jams.
I got confused.
Yeah.
So you have some sort of flute that you got from
a flautist.
Hulking wreck in the ocean.
No. Oh no.
And it has a piece of that and you can murder people with it.
No, this is just the holder and it actually
the sheath.
Sheath is a flute and it's some piece of wreckage that you could also murder Satan with.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have. Yeah. I have.
You can wear it as a necklace. It has brooch like qualities. Mm-hmm. And then if someone acts up in Walmart, they're getting knifed.
It seems
you're cutting their kidneys out of them, putting them in a bathtub.
It's for fishing.
Making $30.
It's for fishing. Yeah, technically,
it's for fishing. Yeah. Fishing for 30th anniversary gift.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Gift. Expect something.
Fishing for gallbladders.
Fishing for urban legends.
Wood. Third lever. Leather. Fourth lever.
Yes.
Fifth diamonds. 40th a piece of metal from a hulking disaster at sea.
Is this still your first point, Reese? Is it still the first question about it?
Yep. We're still
on okay,
1A.
1A. Sub question.
You toured Alaska. What?
Oh, yeah.
Did you go to that bar?
The question is what?
Did you go to that bar where you do the toe shot?
Oh, I hope not. I hope not.
There's a bar in
up, my friend.
There's a bar in Alaska where you do a shot and they put the amputated toe of an old sea captain
Swarthy.
In it, and you shoot it, and then you take the toe out. If you, this is God's honest truth. If you swallow
I don't like God's
the
honest
toe,
truth. That's crazy.
Do they even have a health department in Alaska?
No. If you swallow happening? The toe, it's a yep. misdemeanor. You cannot swallow the toe. It's a misdemeanor.
Really?
Here's one for you.
That's a misdemeanor.
If you record
honest
it,
to God, if you record I'll look it up right now.
If you record this on video, it's COVID-19.
COVID-19.
No, I didn't go to that.
You didn't go
also,
to that
it's not like Alaska's just some small, you know, town. It's like bigger. It's the biggest part of the country, right? It's like.
It's the smallest state.
Do you know that one guy?
From Alaska? Oh, you've been to Alaska? Do you know this guy?
So you went on tour. What kind of tour did you go on in Dogwood?
Chad from the militia group was our booking agent, and he he booked us, and we were with the Undecided, this other Tooth and Nail punk band, but they're from Canada. So we
did Chad later work for Tooth and Nail?
He worked for them before that, and then he did.
Okay, yeah, I know this. Chad.
Yeah, you probably know him. Yeah,
I mean, there's like a couple people named Chad.
That's
guys. Here we go.
That's true.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I know Chad.
What is that? An iPhone?
And it was
is that a smartphone
guy.
It's a smarter phone.
Smarter.
It is. It's at. It's the Sour Toe Cocktail.
Oh my gosh.
In Dawson City, Yukon. So it's in the Yukon, not Alaska.
Canadian.
Oh, yes. And I think that's the Yukon is country. The Providence. Yeah.
Apparently, they don't have a health department.
Well, that's a whole other country.
They got free health care.
I was talking about America. Alaska's in America.
It says it's a rite of passage for visitors to Dawson City, Yukon.
Okay.
So continue what you guys were yapping about.
Oh, we
went on tour.
Oh, we drove from Spokane, Washington, in the states, in the contiguous states, and we go up through up the kind of west coast of Canada.
We drove.
We were on tour in our van, so we drove with them. Lord. It was a 60-hour drive with no shows between. So we were just like,
yeah. Did you hit Vancouver?
We didn't. No, because we were on the other side of Washington. So like. Vancouver is on the Seattle side, and we were
like Spokane.
Spokane, and then up, and then
you were like,
I don't know. That's how I don't
Vancouver.
Know how it was routed that way, but we did it.
Chad,
I think
Chad is the answer.
Yeah. Well, then we get up there. All right, we took us like you know 60 hours was like 3 days.
60 days. Did you guys
60 hours? Yes, yes. And this was kind of the highway wasn't finished, so there were some dirt parts of the road, and but it was amazing. It was an amazing drive because it was all the way through that part of Canada that. You know, so we saw all the animals. There was like rivers flowing next to the road. So we got out and played in the river, snowy river. So, you know, we're like in a swimming trunks and flip flops, of course. And then, you know, and then we stayed in Alaska and toured. We were there for, I think, 2 weeks around. We did all the cities, but we stayed in this one family's house the whole time.
You literally did all the cities in Alaska.
And it was like 16 hours to drive.
Yeah, I think there's only about 7 cities in Alaska.
Where was the home base?
Anchorage.
Okay, and then you went to like Juneau.
We did Juneau. We flew to a lot of places like Kenai and Fairbanks. We drove to. We went to the northernmost Denny's in the world, up there. We did. We saw the Aurora Borealis, which was awesome.
Oh, shine it down in Dallas.
We were attacked.
Can you picture
we were charged.
That?
We were charged by a moose at the house because we were taunting it. When Dude, we were doing like,
well, that's what they tell you not to do. That's what the locals are like. Hey. They're serious.
Hey, we're going to go inside while you play with the moose. Yeah. So they, we,
yeah.
But I'll tell you what.
They're like, these are our spiritual animals here that roam around. And they're
like not bother
majestic.
Them, that'd be amazing.
And you guys are like, hey, let's see if we can hit it with gum.
Oh, we weren't doing that. We were just like, we wanted to get pictures with it and like videos.
Oh, they're super
and we had
dangerous.
That's at the time when we were traveling with like an 8mm, you know, Super 8 camera kind of thing. So we were filming everything. And
what year was this?
This must have been 98, 99,
Jeez,
98, 99,
Pete.
I think.
Oh, was Alaska even a state then? Or was it still a...
it was, you know what's crazy?
Had it been annexed by Hawaii at that point?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty exactly. good with my history.
Oh, you're so good at geometry.
You're great.
So good. There's a place there, and it's actually... So we go there, And I guess this is my first farm to table kind of experience, because they had just.
Is this where you got the bug to be a chef?
Maybe every time on tour, my first time was in Eagle, Colorado. And
beautiful this time of year.
It's where Kobe got, he got almost put in jail.
In Eagle?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that was my
first time. He had a date, air quotes, in
Eagle. He was in Aspen. Eagle is
county. He's doing some studying with the intern. Oh man.
Hey,
rest in peace.
Hey, yo.
It's getting hot in here. It's getting hot in here. Eagle was where I first got it, because we were grilling on tour. We didn't have money to go out to eat all the time. We didn't have per diems or anything. So I was cooking in people's backyards.
I mean, we weren't the Supertones. Hey, yo.
Guys, I gotta go. Skank to the beat, you guys. We're cooking. Anyways, Alaska, they had just brought down, they had just shot and killed with a bow and arrow, a big giant caribou.
Jeez.
Oh.
A caribou, and it was brought down by the 9-year-old son.
Jeez.
Of course it was.
The bow and arrow.
He pulled its heart out.
So we have pictures. So we have pictures of us holding the heart. And it's two of us.
Was it like the size of a melon?
Yeah, two of us are holding the heart. It's about the size of a giant watermelon or a jackfruit. It's like,
this is in Eagle or in
Alaska? No, this was Alaska. I'm back to Alaska.
Okay.
Eagle, was like my first time.
He tried to tell us the Eagle story. We interrupted so much that he just defaulted back to Alaska.
Once we started talking about Kobe, dude. I was like, I got to turn left.
okay, keep going.
Yeah. Jesus.
So the heart was the size of a melon.
Oh, that's just one part. Yeah. So then they're like, they were preserving the meats for the winter kind of thing. They were actually using all the parts of the animal, and there was some parts they didn't really know how to use. But down here in San Diego and my family in Mexico, we kind of try to use the weird parts of the animal also for cooking stuff. Like, whether it's oxtail.
So did you teach them?
Or tongue. Yeah.
Did you teach them a thing or two?
Yeah. So we made. There was some extra scrap parts that they were trimming, and I did fajitas in Alaska this one trip. So crazy, right? So nasty, but it worked.
With caribou?
Yeah. I mean, with enough seasoning.
What parts of the animal were they not aware to use?
I mean, I don't know if they didn't know, but it was some. I don't know if they didn't know how to do it, because they probably could have done stuff, because they could have made sausage or something. But they just had these extra ones that they weren't preserving, and they had stuff to cook.
Oh.
So they were going to cook stuff, and like, what can you make with this stuff?
Oh, gotcha.
They make it into sausage normally.
Yeah, all the scraps. That's what you grind it up and just turn it into whatever. You know, this is why vegans are vegans, because this stuff is gross. You know. But
it has a lot of B vitamins though, and your body needs
a lot of
that.
Magnesium and niacin and all that kind of stuff, and
salicylic acid.
Yeah. Depending on what the diet was of the animal, you know. So and how
this
how
is what killed. My ex-wife is like. She would talk shit about all the Mexican food I wanted to eat, because she'd be like, "I don't like it. It's dirt meat."
Whoa!
Hey, fuck off. That's what I think about that. Sorry.
And here we are.
This is what she would see as soon as she said, just about the
strong hand.
You're about to meet Chet. And she's like, who's Chet? Like, you're like the back of my hand.
Damn.
Especially like Baja Mexican food is that it is. You don't want good meat. You don't want to order the pollo.
I hear what you're saying.
You want cabeza.
I have words for it in the kitchen. I say the stuff that's running off is not blood. That's juice. Technically it's hemoglobin, but we don't get into all that, right? But all the dirty meat, as the your ex-wife would say, that's actually, you know, I call that more accessible proteins. Cause in the boutique catering that I do, it's like we're using the highest end product, the highest, like organic and grass fed. And now that's really hard to afford for a lot of eaters, a lot of clients.
Yeah.
So they want, okay, what else do you have? And we go, but there's all these levels, right? There's the highest end that is unaffordable for me to even use or whatever, like A5 Wagyu and stuff like that. It's like, you don't even want to use that. That'd be a waste to serve that at a wedding, you know? But then there's like the stuff, the affordable, the approachable proteins, as I call it, like the dirt meat, as she said, that's like,
yeah,
that's got all the flavor, dog. That's got the catching all the crispies from the flat top and like all the oil and yeah.
You know what drives me nuts in the Detroit area?
It drives me nuts.
You know, you want to know what grinds my ruffled feathers on this week's episode of Ruffled Feathers.
Pickle and Boucha.
I enjoy oxtail.
For sure. You would think 100%.
You would think oxtail is cheap, cheap, cheap.
It was. It used to be.
And it is not anymore,
no,
man.
It's not.
I go to the grocery store.
Of the hipsters, all the tattooed chefs made it into a thing.
Yeah, and I go and it's like you get three like pieces, like three rings of oxtail, and it's like $14.
That's stupid.
I'm like, what?
That's probably, that's human flesh.
I stopped eating it, man.
Yeah, that means so now it's become a delicacy. That used to be the poor folks food. That was like you could turn that.
Yeah,
that's the meat you used. Or the tongue or head, you know, like all this stuff that's everything's usable, but it depends on how you cook it. But that sucks that it's like,
now do you eat brains?
I don't often, but it's a lot of magnesium.
It's the texture for me.
So well, like, that depends on the cooking too.
I'm not a big
like cat food.
I don't
I'm
think
not
there's
a big
reason.
Fan of eggs.
Yeah, I don't
and
think there's
it
a
has
reason
like
to eat
consistency
it.
Of it.
There's not a reason to eat it. There's no like. I don't think people crave it.
There's a good reason.
Well, no, people don't
Your
crave
friends
it.
Dare you?
Yeah,
they're like, "Hey, I
to
bet
eat
you
a century
eat that,
egg,
and then you're gonna eat it, and then you do, and then they're like,
and then you're smarter.
What does it taste like? And you say, it tastes like cat food, and they're also like, how do you know?
I mean,
and that's a long story.
The only time I do eat it is if I'm in Baja California and we're doing taco tours and stuff like that, and I like to try all the stuff that's on the menu.
Okay.
Oh my god, that looks terrible.
Now, Josh, have you ever had a century egg?
No, I get asked that a lot, and I haven't. Are you talking about like the balut in the Filipino culture?
Not the balut. The one that
is like a chicken embryo.
The one that's like it's the egg that turns like black, and then the yolk turns gray.
I have not.
Yep. I took those up north, and Reese came up to my dad's place, and we had century eggs. I had a bite.
Where'd you get it?
At the Asian market.
Joe also had no sense of taste or smell.
Because of COVID, I don't have my taste and smell back. So at the time, no.
Joe, you should sue.
Yeah,
sue the COVIDs.
I'm gonna sue Wuhan.
Jeez.
For all their words.
Oh, wow. Yellow. Zow.
Zowie.
Zowie.
That takes some feathers.
So I took a bite of it.
Okay.
And thank God I couldn't smell it or taste it. But just the texture, it was like a Jell-O jiggler.
Mm.
And then with the part of the yolk that I got, it was like a Jell-O jiggler with like cream, so I couldn't eat it just on text. Yeah, on texture alone. This guy
put in some
Reese,
sound effects.
I could taste and smell it.
Reese gobbled that thing up, dipped it in soy sauce, put sriracha on it.
You went for it.
Oh, sriracha and soy sauce on it. It's not too bad, but if you smell it or taste it.
They
you know
do
when
say
you go to the Asian market and you're like, what smells like rotting seafood? It's not rotting seafood. It's those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're
he ain't
so
lying.
Nasty.
He ain't lying.
But I'll do it again right now.
Okay.
He's a tiger because he ain't lying.
I got one in my pocket. Yeah. Yeah, man.
So I want you to tell us more about the pairings that you do.
Sure.
So I want to know, like, a given night, how are you setting this thing up? And tell, because the look on Reese's face, he doesn't know what's going on. He's halfway down in a fifth of whiskey.
This is my.
I don't know how much longer he's going to be on his
just
feet.
Sticking out of the back.
Reese, did you hear the last little talk that Joe and I did?
I did. I listened to
it today. This is a mannequin arm. Mm-hmm. Anyways, back to your question, Joe.
So take me through from beginning to end. I want to know beginning to end. When you like wake up, you wake up on a Monday and you're like, you know what? I'm going to do a pairing coming up because what? Did you hear a song? Did you hear a genre?
Yes,
like how does the whole thing, how does, so Reese, if you didn't listen to the last thing he does,
I did listen. I loved it. And I have a follow-up question that is totally relative to this. Is there a guy in your band whose name is RU55E11? Okay.
Yes.
Do the first part first.
Yes. There is, or there was. Okay. I don't know if that's still around or not, but yes.
What?
It makes sense. No, the person is alive. Okay, I don't know if that's
RU55E11 is alive. He's your drummer.
Oh, I know. I'm saying that way of the spell it, that character, you know, that persona. Yeah. So the person is alive. Yes.
Good. This is good.
So the pairing, talk to me about like how you get, like where the inspiration when you're like, do you come up with the food first? Do you come up with the music, the drink? Like explain this all to me.
Sure. So let's say we want to do a dinner or a brunch or whatever, a meal or an event based around Until It Shakes Apart. Right. They're going to do a release party or like an anniversary celebration of the release. And Andy sends me the demo and I'm like, okay.
A lot of flambe.
Yeah. I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh, wow. He's really calling out the church on this one or whatever. So, or like, hey, there's flames in the, you know, the title or whatever. So I try to pull all the.
So edgy.
I try to pull all the kind of details out of like what I see on the record cover or like the lyrics or like the sound or how it makes me feel. Or if I hear an interview with him and, or some a band member, they say that it was about this or it made them feel this way, blah, blah. So those are things. And then we say, oh, it's going to be a bourbon pairing dinner, not a beer dinner this time. It's going to be bourbons or like cocktails or something like that. Then I say, okay, we can make funny names for the drinks. Stuff like that. There's all kinds of details to kind of build an event around. Excuse me. And then we say, okay, there's X amount of tracks on the album, but we can't do 12 courses maybe or whatever. If say there's 12, for example, if there's 12 tracks, we're going to pick like 5 or 6 or whatever.
There's not.
Or
it has to be a prime number.
11. So we'll go with 11 or whatever. So the more you do, of course we have to do like, you know, maybe smaller courses, less alcohol each course, but if you do less courses, you can do bigger drinks, bigger food, stuff like that. So those are things that you're taking into consideration. So I've done 3-course meals also where it's just like boom, boom, boom. But
yeah,
for the music, we're like, okay, everyone, we're going to use all of our senses when we do this pairing. This is when I'm speaking to the crowd or whatever. Everyone, like all your sense. So touching, grab the glass. That's your touch. You know, look at it. If it's a glass, you wouldn't do it with a can, but look at it. Or maybe you do. Maybe look at the graphic design on here. There's a look at Marvel Iron Man glass, and I'm going to pour the logo of this company on there into it. Blah blah. I'm trying to like incorporate all your senses so that you would actually like remember the experience more. And then we keep getting them into more and more senses where like smell it. And then here's how you taste it. You take the sip of the drink first, then some of the food, blah, blah, then the drink. And you always end the pairing with the drink. You start and end with the drink. You know, so you start and end everything with that. And then, and the music is because, you know, when, you know, Reese penned this song, he was like, you know, at a fire station in Ferguson, Missouri, or whatever the case may be. There's like all these random details and you put that in the explanation and people are like, what? This is crazy. So then they never forget.
Get out of here.
He did? What? So
I've been to that city.
Yeah. So you never forget it or next time you have this same kind of food or this drink or both, you're like, oh man, this reminds me of that song I heard. It was on this album. Okay. They released it. They released it in like, you know, after the kind of the protests of 2020 and the church was a shit show. And, you know, they were talking about this and they wanted to experience this. And then I had this taco and it was a mind blowing experience because there was this triple pairing of music and food and drink. And I'm never going to forget it. And every time I have this, you know, this thing, I'm going to hear this song, or every time I hear this song, I'm going to remember this food or this, you know what I mean? So it's this kind of creation of a cultivated experience, if you will, like kind of like when we were writing records back in the day, when we were in our 20s, we're like, oh man, I want to like get this message out there. And it was really only one way to do it. It was through, we were right.
I want to get this message out there that if we're a Christian, we'll never have any problems in our life.
Yay! Ding.
Do you life is just going to be about roses and rainbows.
Unicorn farts.
Do you do this a lot?
This is what I do for a living.
You, with the music.
Well, that's part of the events that I put on as the chef. So the music stuff, that's like special events. I get to do that when there's a company that approaches, say, oh, we got this beer release, or here's a new like coffee roast or whatever. Cause, it's kind of the thing that I have fun doing. Cause since I came from music,
yeah,
and I cook, I always wanted to, I continue to keep trying
still
to put two together.
Doing music.
Still trying to. Yeah. Still trying to do both.
What do you mean trying to?
No, I'm trying to keep them both together. I'm trying to do both together still, like in a way. So that's the podcast, and that's the guests I have on who are musicians who are also like in the food and or beverage industry or hospitality industry.
Yeah. So
that's what we do. Rock and roll.
Do you ever
do you still live in San Diego?
Yeah.
Escondido?
Not Escondido, but close. Yeah. I'm just south of there. I live closer to like, you know, middle of San Diego County, San Diego State area, mm-hmm. like okay. 10 miles from the Mexico border.
Go Aztecs.
So, yeah, that. Yeah. Yeah, those guys.
Joe and I, before you came on, we were shit talking the 1984 Padres though.
Because of my thing? Because of this? What do you care, Reese? What do you care? They're called Rockies were in the team there.
He's a Detroit Tiger fan.
Oh,
I'm a Tiger
okay. Well,
fan.
I actually I don't mind the Tigers. I got the whole 1984 Tigers baseball card series on Topps.
You're accepted.
Do you have
well because you also know what you get? To be honest with you, Dogwood for a long time was
host.
Wearing Dogwood for a long time was wearing we would wear Detroit Tigers hats because the D.
This is what I was talking about. I was like, I think I went up to your drummer who is named RU55E11, and I said, I don't know what your name is, dude, but
and I don't care, but
I like your hat.
And so we're going to be friends. And he was like, oh, cool. It's for Dogwood. And I was like,
you're like, no, it's not.
I will fight you right here.
Yeah, I'll cut you.
We thought it was cool. Cause it was like, you know, I guess we, you know, D cause we didn't have to make a hat.
No,
we didn't have to make a logo.
It is cool.
It's just like, yeah, there it is.
And they're available cool. all over the country. Always,
yeah. Too bad the Tigers suck
you,
for so
it
long.
It is cool.
Ah, no.
Even if you are like, I like this Padres, and you're like, which version? And you're like 1984. You're like, okay, you got second place.
Now, yeah. here's what separates the Tigers fan from like the Tiger fan is to if not only to have the 84 top set, but to have the 1984 Coke cans.
Yeah, I don't have that.
And so Coca-Cola came out with the cans that they would have a picture, like a drawing of each tiger on the back of the can. So you had to, they gave you like the summer to like try and find them all.
And now everyone has
diabetes. Do you think it was easier though, Joe, to be a Tigers fan if you actually lived in Detroit?
Sure.
Probably.
Sure.
Probably.
Yeah, I lived in the middle of Indiana that year. It didn't work.
Oh, man.
Indiana doesn't have like any sports teams, do they? Oh, I guess they have the Pacers and the Colts.
And the race cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love their racing.
Racing.
If you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing.
They also
turning
have South,
heads and burning treads.
Notre Dame.
I wasn't there by choice, by the way. I was just like, go Indiana. My dad moved there for a job, and I had to move there
the
for
Hoosiers.
A year. The Hoosiers.
Who's your daddy?
Who's the heirs, yeah. Yeah.
It was cool.
All right.
Well. I liked it. I don't want to go back, though.
I don't want to go back.
You
can't do it all over.
You don't have to, guys. Don't do it.
The Dogwoods.
Whoa.
The Dogwoods featuring Eddie Money.
you guys working on new stuff or what?
Not with Dogwood, but I've kind of always just been doing music stuff with other I help other bands write stuff, or I sing on other people's records, or, you know, just if people send me ideas, I'm like, yeah, dude, that sounds cool. Try this.
Why not Dogwood?
And we're all like all over the world right now, like all over, you know, And maybe where, I think I'm the only one who still like does music stuff.
It's fine. You can do it. You Fiverr can do did it.
I know. Also, I think they have to want to do it too.
Fiverr doesn't want to do it. We still made it happen.
He did. And it sounds good.
Yeah, like every once in a while, somebody in Fiverr would be like, I'm going to stick my neck out. And the other people just take a huge shit on it.
Hey, guys.
But eventually,
you think we should stop doing this again?
To make an album.
No, don't never stop.
No, we're don't just like, stop. Well, I get, it is a tax write-off if I buy a bunch of gear. Okay. We'll do it.
Do you think that, do you guys do the, I would say, this, I mean, the regular question is, most of your listenership is from fans of your guys' bands, right?
From Fiverr.
No.
Not from the insiders?
No, most of
zero.
Our listenership
how do you know?
Is
because our listeners don't even know who I am. UK.
Yeah. And most of them are Polish stalkers of mine.
They're all from, yeah. They're all from, they're all like fans of actually like Brave Saint Saturn only.
No, they're that lady or people that are listening in for my ex-wife.
Yeah. They're like, can you just listen and see if he makes sure he doesn't say anything about me? Like the whole show is about you, lady.
Every time he does, he's fined $250.
Pickle and Boot Shop starring whatever that is, Honey Stinger.
It's
Jimmy Christmas.
Wild Turkey American Honey Stinger.
No, I'm a huge fan of Wild Turkey itself, but like that one. So I've done stuff with them. I've done a pairing with them.
This is like, do the pairing with this and bowel cancer.
Oh,
okay.
Whoa.
Yellow.
No.
Zappy. Zingo.
Daddy don't like
chemotherapy.
Chippy say dances with wolves. Mm.
Smells like burning. Yeah. Joe, is that
dang near killed him.
Joe, is that a action figure collection behind you? Comic stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. I have some NBA starting lineups.
No. Yeah, starting lineups.
I have all the Dan Marley starting lineups.
Majorly?
Yep. I have
Marley.
Christian Laettner. All the Christian Laettner starting lineups. Yep.
The kid from Duke.
And then I have Dominic Hasek is my favorite hockey player, so I have his and Wayne Gretzky.
Okay, you have one successful person in there.
Yeah,
I mean
that's the truth.
Don't you think that if you were became a starting lineup action figure, that you had to have some level of success?
Would think
they don't make those for research.
Because also, it's starting lineup. It's not second. It's not like bench lineup. It's the starting lineup. Yeah.
Correct. Well, Marley was on the starting lineup, as was Laettner. Laettner was a starter.
Wasn't it Dan Thunder Marley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's from he went to Central Michigan here in the great old state of Michigan.
Oh, Senmich. He went to Senmich.
Phoenix Suns.
And when I play NBA 2K23 or whatever, I just rain three-pointers with Marley.
Bring the thunder. Hey, riddle me this. Riddle me this, Jerky. Riddle me this.
Detroit. what about Detroit?
You got Reese caught me off guard. He's like, okay, wait.
Hey, no, go for
no,
it.
Go ahead, Reese. Whatever.
No, it's fine.
Funko Pop.
No, I just wanted to say that like most
Doomsday.
Of our fans are here. They want to know about our bands. And we're talking about a guy that was like the best 3-point shooter from the Phoenix Suns in 1996.
They were there.
Yeah.
Well, no, but look. Yeah. Oh, is this video? Is this video component? Do you do that?
Or? No.
Oh, it's only audio. Okay.
Yeah, this is only audio.
Listener, to the listeners, I'm just looking at Joe's action figure collection behind his head.
Yeah. And I hate DC Comics.
Yellow.
I hate
but you have
DC.
Doomsday.
And Doomsday is my favorite character because he killed Superman.
Backbreaker.
So that's the only one that I like.
I got a question for you. Did he?
Question.
Did he?
Well, he did, but you know.
Did he?
Did he though?
And then I got this one.
Was it just a,
White Castle.
That guy killed Batman.
The White Castle slider.
It's, so you should just cut out the middleman and toss it in the trash.
Tossing in the toilet.
The toilet, I mean, yeah. So, because when you eat those, they just...
Yeah, so this is just kind of my stuff here.
Okay. Back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Back to this. See, most of our listeners they've already heard about all this crap that's behind.
I'll tell you what. A true story. One time.
True story about dogwoods.
Yeah. This is one time we scheduled a tour, a whole tour around one show with the Insiders in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It was at the big giant arena next to the football stadium.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you guys played that.
exactly. I don't know if Five Iron was also playing, and then we met Skillet.
The Ska Mania tour?
Skillet was playing.
Oh, and Reese is a huge fan of Skillet.
They were absolute buttholes to me.
Let's talk about this.
You and Reese can yap for the next half hour about this. Go ahead.
And I will tell you something, Reese Roper. I see you. I hear you.
And I raise you.
And I raise you one John. I think that we weren't like, I think that he thought that we thought that we were, something happened to where he thought we were like, acting too cool for the Christianity or the scene or whatever. And I'm like, dude, we're playing this like youth conference thing. Like if we were too cool, we would have just said, no, we live in San Diego. We don't have to come out
this is what Skillet guy said.
You're a pretend rock star.
Yeah.
You didn't say,
oh no, I said some rad stuff to him too. I said some choice words too, but I was like, I was not having it because we had come from what's that like, 2,200 miles away to play. We toured based there. That was our turning point. We toured there and back. So it was like, we built a tour. We called it the 2 week tour, 2 week WEAK. The 2 week tour. And that was our the turnaround. And, but it was just so weird.
Hey, Mr. Gata.
Hey, it's so weird because, they were headlining, whatever. And then the Insiders were like one of the bigger acts on there too, but we were super cool with the Insiders.
No big deal.
No big. It was no big deal. True Believers, right? True Believers. the Insiders played and we were just played right before the Insiders. I don't know. We were like on the bill, but Skillet was, I just think they weren't nice to us. I don't know why. I'm not being sensitive or anything. They were like very condescending to what we were doing, you know?
Are you afraid of talking about the actual conversations you had?
No.
Because I'll tell you actual conversations I've had with John.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. I mean, I know what he said to us and I know what I said to him, but now he's out there, you know, shooting fire out of his arms and stuff like that on stage these days. Whatever.
No, like here's my experience with Skillet. We,
trigger warning.
They were some sort of grunge band.
Yeah.
When they started. Yeah. Which is cool. Like I don't have any I don't have any beef with anybody that is just copying a secular band to make it a Christian band because nobody. Nobody's ever done it.
Buzzing.
No, I think it was like culturally acceptable.
Who was the Christian Beastie Boys?
Dude, like
nobody tried. Go ahead.
No, they couldn't. Like
the Beastie Boys were the Christian Beastie Boys.
The Beastie Boys were Jewish Will
Smith. Like, not that Will Smith is bad. He's a great actor. Not like I would say that his rapping is tailored for record sales. And I think there was a Christian band that tried to be the Christian Will Smith and then tried to be the Christian version of Pearl Jam / Nirvana.
Are you still talking about John?
No.
Okay.
Insiders.
So then.
Oh, I see. I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
No.
Get your wife's name. Okay.
So they were doing this thing. I don't have any qualms with this. They were making a safe place for youth group kids to go and hear cool music.
Yeah, good for them.
And like, cool, maybe I can put blue Kool-Aid in my hair. That's fine. Do it. Like, have a little safe rebellion. That's cool. You know, like as a parent, I'm like, yeah, this is cool. Uh-huh. This is fine. Uh-huh. I want this. I want my kids to go someplace that's safe.
Totally.
I'm tired of feeling like I have to protect them from everything all the time. So I feel like Skillet did this.
You said this to Skillet?
No. Oh. But then they changed several times, becoming whatever was popular at the moment. I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that.
Sounds like it.
Like as an artist, as a musical artist who has not been in very good bands, I have no room to say, to judge them, to say like, this is not art. I don't care. Like art is what is whatever it makes you feel like.
Right.
So if it made people feel joy, it made people feel angry or whatever they were getting, that's fine.
Okay.
I was asked to, so go like 1996, our first tour, we stayed in the parsonage of this church, this Methodist church in Memphis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was where they lived. They were like part of the outreach for this church. They're like, Skillet lives here. You guys can stay here. So Fiverr stayed there. We talked to them later. They were super down to earth, super bros. It was like, cool, you guys stay at our house. That's awesome. We're all doing this for Jesus. This is great. My next conversation with them was like in 2006.
Yep.
I got asked, so Fiverr's broken up. I get asked to go back and be a host of some of the alternative stage at Soulfest. Did you guys play Soulfest?
I don't think we ever did, actually. I don't think we did.
Oh, man. So cool. Insiders never did either.
Go figure.
I think they were just like
sad trombone.
West Coast is out. Like you guys already have your
tell
own
us more.
Stuff. You
tell us more, Reese. What other shows did you do?
West Coast yeah. people.
Push us down with your thumb some more and tell us how all your okay, Sky so, Against Racism and Warped Tours. Let's hear it.
Oh, shit.
So what did they say in 2006?
Go ahead. 2006.
So I'm the host of this, and I'm just like
the host of what?
Sweet. Of the alternative stage.
Oh, that's kind
of
cool.
Like the side stage.
That's kind
of
cool.
It was kind
of
cool.
You were the Brian Gray of Soulfest.
I was in nursing school. So I was like, this is cool. Somebody's paying me money, flying me out here. I get to stay in a hotel with my wife.
Love that.
Who couldn't appreciate it. But we went to the thing. It was cool. Mm-hmm. I was the host. And I was just like, yeah, give it up for Skillet. You know,
you say it like that,
no. Ladies and gentlemen.
No, not
you probably cooked your exit this morning.
obviously,
you got to do like Kermit
back for it.
You got to do like Kermit on the Muppet Show.
Hey guys, I'm Reese Roper. You may know me from such films as.
They were like. Does anybody but three people get the joke he just told? No. That's what it was like. But Skillet, like on the day they played, they just thought they were king shit.
Yeah.
Of the mountain. Like
this is a no holds barred conversation, I gotta tell you.
We have these every week, buddy.
So
we don't care.
I have to
click. What, they're not gonna play with us anymore? Hey-o.
Shit talkers.
So Skillet.
Yep, heard of him.
This is how it goes. If you remember at the festivals, fellas, you go, the first band sound checks first, then like the next band, the next band, the next band. Is it that way? No, I'm getting it wrong. The headliner sound checks first.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Or they have their people come out and sound check for them.
Toot,
they're
toot,
rich enough.
Toot. Yeah.
Just in
an hour.
The day before was Flyleaf. They just had people come out there and sound check for them. And then they get off. And there was like, then there's like five more bands. They got to go up and they got a sound check. They got a line check. So that the sound guy or whoever their sound guy is like, these are the levels. I got to remember this. I got to write it down. And then I set it in. Or the new consoles, they program it.
Okay. Yep.
So on Switchfoot's day, they took about 4 hours to sound check.
Skillet did?
Skillet, not Skillet. Switchfoot.
Yeah. Shout out Switchfoot.
Did I say Switchfoot?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I thought you meant they were playing. No, that's cool. Jeez, Switchfoot's cool. They don't care.
Switchfoot is cool. They're coolest. Skillet. Also, San Diego props.
Yeah,
to all the
super cool. Their whole crew, everybody's their family. They've always been super cool.
All of them.
Unless you got some shit.
POD, Dogwood, Switchfoot.
There's just something about the water here.
Blink 182.
Whip, whip. San Diego. So anyway, these fellas took 4 hours of sound check.
That's a lot.
And the other bands could not even do a line check. And I was like, I'm going to go say something.
Yes.
So I go to John and I'm like, hey, dude, do you remember 1996? It was our first tour. We stayed in your house. It was super cool. You came up and talked to us. Like the next time we saw you, it was so cool. I was very blessed by that conversation.
You turned it on hard.
Yeah, you did.
No, but I mean,
stepping
like
on the gas.
This is for real. I was just like, hey, I feel like you were this way and you're not anymore. What you just did out there, you just
record scratch.
Five bands out of like what may be the best, you know, like the biggest performance of their life. There's, you know, these guys, they especially like the first band, they're some local band,
the Insiders,
from New England, and they're just like, this is the biggest thing that's ever happened to us. They didn't get a sound check. And you're blue mixing them.
And you just created a word called, you just got skilleted.
Oh.
You just got skilleted. Yeah. And he was just like, well.
You just got skilled.
He did this. Skilted. Like he just shrugged and he was like, well, that's the way it is in the music
business.
That's
baseball.
And just turned around. And so I was just like, oh, for real. Fuck this guy forever.
And that was the last interaction you guys had.
I didn't
did you get him on stage then? What was your
how'd you open for how'd you like yeah MC that? Like, yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
I imagine I was some sort of coward and I didn't say anything. Man. I should have just been like, this band hates you because you're actual Christians and they're not.
Oh. Shots fired. Hard. Shots fired.
See, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Josh.
I don't want to say that. Like, maybe they have a saving belief.
No, they're probably
Christ,
actually like good Christians, but when they do the music stuff,
they're not good Christians.
No, in that
let's go
in
with
that world of no, in that
good.
World of no. Christians who would live on a parsonage, and like you know.
Yeah. No, man.
You know, like, the old song, Christians in a parsonage.
Good. Let's not
and a skillet in a pear trees. Tastes like
no. Here's the thing.
I don't want to say,
Josh, just so you know,
I need Joe to explain you to me.
They are brothers.
Yeah. Just so you know. So
John's right here next to me, just to let you know.
Reese has his strong feelings about Skillet. My interactions with Skillet, we did the same thing. We stayed at their house in Memphis.
We did.
Yeah. All that stuff. Yeah. We did that. I think we even went out the first time Skillet. Like went out, like I don't want to say toured, but like the first time they went out, I think they went out with us. Mm-hmm. They had like a Reliant K car with like a little like trailer. They never, now mind you, we were done by 2000, you know, so within those years of the Insiders, Skillet, it was like we were always a ska band. They were always something different at every show, but they never said, we never had any issues with them. And it wasn't until that I started hearing from Reese and then hearing from other people about their interactions that you're like, oh, that kind of sucks. Same thing with K-Max. I have not had good interactions with Kevin Max, who I did send out a message to be on the show.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
It would be amazing if he came on because we have talked so much Duke about that guy.
Yeah.
He actually,
I just said he's weird.
Yeah. He actually contacted, Oh, that's no big deal. We are the most unprofessional. Reese's kids come in, talk to him during the thing. Mine do. If your kids come in and want to jump on and say, hey, what's up?
Xander, say what's up.
Get him in there. Let's see him. Get him up to the mic.
They want to see your face. They want to see your face.
I come here, kid. I want to see your face.
Jimmy
look
Stewart.
Out. Ready?
Hey. Oh, he's got his gaming headset on and everything.
He's gaming.
What is he playing? What's he playing?
Overwatch.
Oh, is that?
Hi.
Nice. All right.
He took an L, so he's ready to get it. Oh,
yeah. Get back in there, buddy. Get back in there. Cause some damage.
He's doing well. Okay. They said cause some damage. In the name.
Do the kids still say that? Cause some damage.
I don't know. I think that happens a lot in like our a throwback to our last conversation. Joe was, we were talking about some kind of like shittiness in the church, right? Some absolute shittiness, right? Like,
I love this conversation, by the way.
Yeah. But wait till you hear Skillet's podcast talking shit about us. Just kidding. No, just kidding. To all the listeners. I was saying like, everything you're like always like, oh, that person's nice. Oh, they're real nice. They go to church. They're nice. They do nice things. Then you see them like how they interact with waiters at a restaurant or like,
yeah,
how do they negotiate trying to buy a car or like how they feel about, you know, people crossing the border or like, oh, well, you start to see like their own kind of ruffled feathers peeking through like a little bit in the bad way. Like, if that makes sense, like their mutation from,
yeah, for sure,
the Sunday person to like the normal everyday. But like I was telling you, is like my
and
dad,
what's unfortunate is people see the fake everyday, mm-hmm, like the people that person interacts with. Those people don't go to their church to see them at church. They only see them in their everyday.
Well, my message,
whole band's career was based on that move.
My message to the world is like my message to the world in the industry is like, trust me, guys. Not every person who comes from church is a shitty customer, like to the restaurant industry. Not every person who comes from church on Sundays is that, because they know that they see it a lot. And it's so famous that Christians are so bad at restaurants that it's in movies and memes and everything. The Righteous Gemstones.
Really?
It's so, Christians at restaurants are so bad. Maybe it's just
really?
I've seen the memes.
Yeah. It's just like,
not the movies.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's the Christians are famous for being mean at restaurants.
Really?
True.
Yes.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I don't have to tip you. You get paid. Tippers. I don't need to tip you.
Everybody who works in restaurants know that Sunday morning,
amateur hour,
it's going to be this huge rush of people from church, and they're going to be dicks.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, instead of leaving a tip, you leave a track. Like it looks like a $20 bill, but it's not money. It's just like, you know, here's how you get saved.
What?
It's like,
I have never heard this stuff. Really?
Joe.
Maybe it's only on the coasts. I don't know.
Joe, get with the times.
I live in the Bible Belt, man. We're all like we're all super nice to our.
We live in the Bible Belt.
Waitresses. I live in the Rust Belt. Maybe that's it.
You're in the Rust Belt, yeah. You're in the Motor Belt.
But it's like you
Dixie.
Like, yeah. You're not, I don't know. I do know a guy who, I do know this. There was a guy I knew that he would, at the beginning of his meal, put like $5 on the table for tip.
And take it off.
And then, yeah. And
that's
then every
urban
time.
I thought that was urban legend.
And then every time something happened.
I hate him.
I never witnessed it. But even his family, even his family said that he did it.
No, because I had a friend whose grandpa did the same thing. I think maybe it was a thing that they taught you to do somewhere, because my friend's grandpa did it. One time he was... This guy was famous. His name was Al. Don't touch that. His name was Al. And he was my friend Brian's grandfather. They're from Indiana, South Bend, actually. And
what a small world!
Indiana, where is that? Is that named after India?
Our new segment.
You just push
what
a button.
World.
Push a button.
Indiana,
what a small world!
Who needs the buttons when we got Joe? So he would literally just, he set his money on fire and be like, you know, your tip is going down if I don't, you know, get this thing that I asked for or whatever. Like he would just do stuff like that. Like, to flag down, like
$2.
And they kept letting him in and to this diner and like, why do you keep serving
to me?
Him?
That just says you're going to get poop in your food.
Guess what? He was a churchgoer.
See, I don't even. So yesterday before church, the girls and I went by like a donut store, like a Dunkin' Donuts.
Carvel's.
We have Tim Hortons here.
Yes.
So we went by a Timmy Ho's, and I asked for a Boston cream donut. They gave me, instead of a Boston cream, they gave me a vanilla cream. So instead of the custard in it, it was just the white grainy cream, which I don't like. I kept it. I was like, oh, they gave me the wrong donut. And Ella was like, are you going to get a new one? And I'm like, no, I don't mess with the food industry. Because if I would have been like, hey, excuse me, you gave me the wrong donut. What goes on in my head is they take the donut from me, put the Boston cream with a booger or spit in it, and then hand me the new Boston cream that's supercharged. I'll just eat the crappy vanilla cream. I don't want AIDS, you know.
Hey, if you're a regular person, your motive should be I don't want AIDS or hepatitis C in your food. But as a Christian, your motive should be, hey,
I don't want AIDS.
Is this a Christian donut shop?
Remember that time when I was unlovable and God still loved me? Remember that one time when I was completely spiritually bereft, or I was just devoid of virtue, and God still loved me? Remember that?
They're like, sir, it's a donut. I'm gonna
turn that around.
They're like, sir,
I'm gonna turn that around.
Like, sir, do you want another donut? Or
share that love with other people. I'm gonna give whatever I have to give this person that's making $2.37 an hour.
They're like, okay, sir. Next, if you can.
Sorry about my
Michael Scott face. Like,
I'm sorry, sir. We're out of apple fritters. Do you want something else?
Was that bottle full when we started the program?
No, it was. It had been sampled a bit, but it's getting lower.
Well, let me ask you this.
I'm just waiting for you to just hit the floor.
Go ahead.
I'm waiting for you to tip that bottle up and then just go back.
You underestimate my superpower.
No, I saw when Reese and I played together in 2018, 2017, something like that. Like
2016.
No,
it's been that long.
No, I think it was 17 or 18.
Let's put out an album. Let's make it a record label and then we'll put out albums on it.
Right, yeah. Yep. Okay. Yes. Keep going.
Let's do it. Department of Biology.
I like the Popeye. I like the Popeye look that he gave you.
Jar. I was gonna say earlier. Who is your favorite? Who's your favorite Simpsons character? I know mine.
Me?
Homer.
Either of you.
It's Homer.
Just straight up Homer. Straight up Homer. Not diving deep.
Straight up. No, it's everybody. Homer is every father.
Yeah, in a sense. Yeah, in a sense. Yeah. I'm gonna strangle you.
Huh? Mine's Homer too. Yeah, not going too deep either.
Two out of three. Okay.
However,
if you had to go deep,
I do realize this though, that over the past 35 years, what the Simpsons ushered in to sitcom television has been the stupid father. So when I was growing up, you had the Cosby Show. You had those types where the dad was where you would learn your lesson from.
You don't mess with the dad.
Yeah, there would be funny things that happened, but ultimately, like, the dad and the mom knew what was up. And the Simpsons ushered in, like, the dumb dad. And now, if you watch, like, kid shows, if you watch anything that's on, like, the Disney Channel or Nickelodeon, the dad is always a buffoon. Like the children on the TV show always know more. Like they always know better than their parents. Like the parents will be like, you can't be doing this. And then the kids do it. And then they, whatever it is that they weren't supposed to do, they'll do it and they make money, or they'll do it and they'll, you know, something. And the dad is always the buffoon. I love The Simpsons, but unfortunately, in my cynical part of my brain, that's what The Simpsons ushered in 35 years ago, was now every dad in every cartoon, every sitcom, everything is just the dumb. And the kids like learn their lessons. If there's like a moral to the show, they learn it through like their trial and error, you know, or it just happens to work out, or they do something and then they real quick, you know, try and.
You know what you're doing? This is called projection. Joe, this is projection.
Yeah.
And then he's divorced twice.
And then Homer Simpson lives in Detroit and works for the school.
I got the haircut.
Homer Simpson does roofing for the schools.
Does roofies.
That was the first joke. Like when you watch the early, so I get this because my kids are watching The Simpsons all the way through for the second time.
Yeah, it's Disney Plus.
I'm so proud. But like the first joke is Homer's a buffoon. The second, like what keeps going is like, he's you. He's human. He's like the most human character in that show.
Yeah.
When they started it, it was like, Bart's a superstar. He says like,
eat my shorts.
Fuck off, grown-ups.
Eat my shorts.
Is that what
Cowabunga.
He said?
Cowabunga.
Grown-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cowabunga.
It was funny.
But like, it became
like kings. Damn hell ass kings.
Homer became like the center of that show.
Yeah.
And it's because like we see our humanity in him. He, like all the failure, all the shortcomings, he's the most average
person.
We see
our humanity in a cartoon character with four fingers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yellow skin. Jaundice.
That's what I love about him. Okay, Josh, who's your favorite Simpsons character? Guys,
I was going to, I guess I should say Homer, but.
Lisa.
No, you don't have to be honest, I like the sea captain.
Oh, yeah.
He's my favorite.
He's your favorite. Why?
The sea captain, because he's rare. Like he's not a regular, but he's actually like in a lot of episodes and he talks, whoever voices him, I think it's Harry Shearer, rest in peace, but he does like 30 of the characters, but.
Did Harry Shearer die?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I gotta go. He
are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. He did a while ago, but the sea captain talks like a pirate, but he's like a cruise ship captain.
Jar, two glass eyes.
And stuff like that. Like, or like,
these pornographic magazines will keep my sailors from having homosexual thoughts while at sea for about 30 seconds.
It's just everything he says is like a punchline kind of joke. And then it's just, I don't know. It's just when he's on the show, like, why is there a sea captain in Springfield, Illinois, for one thing? But also, you know, all right. Hi.
Oh, Hunger Games.
No, Three Sheets.
Hunger Games.
Three Sheets. That is my voicemail. Sound when I get a voicemail, it's the Hunger Games.
Oh, that's great.
Mocking Jay.
My girls.
I just
poured
some off for Harry Shearer and then took a drink.
Oh, is that what you were doing? Okay.
Come on, Josh. This is the Pickle and Boot Shop. Thank you.
Make a suck a pickle, back a sack a douche. Back a back a decom, back a flack a dupe.
Josh.
Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
We're basically working on like, hey, we have to do a third album. Episode with
a
you.
Full album.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just take you on as a third
because
host.
We finally answered this whole time. We're on for like, well, we're crushing an hour right now, but we've answered one question.
We even talked
one
about
question.
The dogwoods.
But we talked about a little bit about my podcast, a little bit about my pairings.
No, we didn't.
Oh, shit.
We did not.
We talked about Overwatch, and
this time we talked about Overwatch, and you did a tour in Hawaii,
Alaska. We did a tour of Hawaii too. We played there 9 times.
Jeez, I was making a joke.
You played there how many times?
We've played there 9 times. Well, we haven't traveled
Hawaii.
We haven't traveled there 9 times, but we've played 9 or 10 shows like around Hawaii for.
All right.
I think we did 3.
Let's just clear this
we
up.
Threw, we flew there up. 3 times.
Hey, sometimes you're probably like, I wish I was in Five Man Frenzy because they got to play all these big shows. And Joe,
no, I've never said that. I've never said that.
You're just talking shit about Five Iron. Like, Five Iron gets to do this. Sky gets right.
Five Iron gets to play the Lobster.
We didn't play
Five Iron
Hawaii.
Made $1 million on our Kickstarter.
Times.
Five Iron Frenzy copied 9 Inch Nails sticker.
That never happened.
It sold millions.
Five Iron Frenzy sounds like a golf band.
In fact, it does.
Yeah.
What are you doing over there, Reese?
Hawaii nine times. Look, I poured out some for my homie, Harry Schur.
But now what are you doing?
Harry Schur is really gone.
I believe he's now you're question. Now you're making me question my. But I'm pretty sure he passed away in like 2018, maybe.
I'm so upset. But
he did like all the he did tons. Him and Phil Hartman both did tons of voices on The Simpsons. Yeah.
Welcome to the Pickle and Boo Shop Simpsons episode.
Harry Schur is still alive.
Okay, that was way off.
Yeah, he's 78 years old, though.
He's one of the members of Spinal Tap.
Yes, he is. Wait, didn't I know? Yeah, he is. I thought maybe he just stopped working on The Simpsons.
Did he? Phil Hartman, is he still alive?
Phil Hartman is the one that passed away for sure.
What the fuck? Okay, sorry.
You've been waiting all day to say that. He's been waiting all day. Yeah. All right. So I'm this close to being saved, you guys. I'm this close to becoming a Christian.
Wild turkey that I poured out for Harry Schur that is not even dead.
You poured it out for Phil Hartman. We'll make it worth your while. Well, maybe
Phil Hartman has been one of the only celebrities I've ever been like busted up over.
Really?
Like they're passing
in this Wikipedia page.
What about Jesus Christ? Huh, Joe?
Was he a celebrity?
Yeah.
How many likes did he have? How many followers?
Number one selling book in the world.
I would love to know the youth pastor who's like, you guys, you want to know who would be great on social media? Jesus. Like he would have followers. You think his followers would be, you know?
Jesus only had 12 followers, but don't ping.
He only had 12 followers, but he made history.
Open your Bibles to Genesis 5.
Hey, turn skillet down. We're ready to get rocking.
Can you come over here from the foosball table real quick, you guys? Just sit down. Guys, sit down.
Sit down. Cody, I'm talking to you. Cody, I'm talking to you.
Sparrow, Cody, guacamole, get over here.
I need you guys all to sit around the tarp. Sit around the tarp. I'm going to hand the first two people, I'm going to close my eyes, and the first two people these salmon fillets.
Hold hands. We're going to have a milk drinking contest. If you vomit, you're going to hell.
If you can drink the entire gallon of milk, I'll pay for you to go to church camp. If not, it's $2,400.
I got Cody's mom on the phone right now. She's going to send this to her Bible study.
Cody and Amber.
Everyone, chug, chug, chug. It's milk. Come on, you guys. There's no way you would throw up, right?
No way. I think that's where Reese just went. I think he just went to barf.
He's having a real five iron frenzy, if you know what I'm saying.
If you know what I mean.
Zowie. Five iron frenzy's new record.
Zowie. It's called Zoinks.
It's called Kickstarter. What?
It's called Let's Just Make Millions Off Kickstarter and then never give anyone the stuff.
He put a Detroit hat on.
He left for seven minutes to find that.
This is like an evil twin.
He's like the M&M. This is like the M&M.
Oh, Mom's Spaghetti. They opened up a shop in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, and our listeners wanted me to go eat there and let them know how it was. I still
have a scroll. He's got some rules on the scroll over here.
This is the Ten Commandments.
To all the listeners. You're what?
Josh.
It's right there. I rebuilt my son's drawer today because he had it open on a trundle bed and my other son stepped on it and broke the drawer. I had to rebuild this whole drawer. I'm pretty good with my hands.
I am not. My girlfriend is amazing. You know what?
You're pretty good with your face.
What about this?
Zippity ding dong, zippity doo.
This is the racist movie for two.
On this episode, we slammed The Simpsons, we slammed Disney, we slammed Detroit, we slammed Joe from Skillet or whatever his name is. We slammed,
Corey and Amber from the youth group.
Oh, yeah. Cody and guacamole. Hey, kids, you listening to. Oh, look at that.
Okay. You guys, I think we're running out of steam here. I think we're running out of steam.
No, we're just getting started. We're just getting started.
Oh, dear Lord.
Turn it up!
Today on.
Oh, well, okay.
Exactly. We're running out of steam. We had last hurrah.
Because Reese didn't hit me with the hard questions.
I'm ready to hit you with a hard question.
Yeah, you are.
All right, let's hear one.
You got one chance. You got one shot.
Do not miss your chance to blow it.
So, Josh from Dogwoods.
Welcome to the Dogwoods.
Remember that one time we played with you guys?
Yeah, I remember a couple times.
That was cool.
I remember. Oh, yeah. This is a throwback to what I was saying in 2017. We did those shows. We did a weekend tour with a Magnified Plaid and the Five Irons. And
We played up in Hollywood.
We did San Diego and Ventura or something. Yeah. But yeah, Reese shows up. He's coming. He's like, hey, I just want to say hi to you guys. I just want to talk to you guys. And he's got a bottle No. Was it Fireball or was it Bullet Bourbon? I don't know. You guys are really good. You guys are good. You guys were always like good. You guys are fun. You guys are good. And I was like, you know what? You guys are really good and fun too. Blah, 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 you know? And he's like,
I love you.
Yeah, I think that Reese was just expressing himself in the form of just exuberance.
So one of the paths of drunkenness that people often take is love.
Is it?
And I felt like I loved you.
I felt like you did too. Maybe it was real.
I do love you. It's real.
I've been thinking it was real all these years.
It was the Bjorn talking. But anyways, that was fun. Yeah, those were fun shows. We got to play with the Magnified Plaids. And
so I have a question for you. So when you toured.
A quick question.
Who were your go-to? Like, who were your best friends? Like, the other bands with the Insiders? Like, I always consider, like, Squad 5-0, Theor Ephesus, mm-hmm. Five Iron. Mm-hmm.
Probably your best friend.
The Dubs.
Yeah, like those three bands for me. Also Chevelle for a while. Chevelle were always out with us. And like those guys were always like really good friends.
Can
like just
the pain be low? That one.
Yeah. And then there were like other bands that we like toured with that like you know, you literally only saw them when you played. Other than that, they didn't want to hang out. Yeah. They didn't want to do things. Who were the bands that like when you went out and toured, like you really enjoyed, you know, the brotherhood of touring and hung out with? Did you have those like signature bands?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't really do, I guess, full tours with you guys, but with either of you, but we had fun playing. I think it's because, I mean, of course, so like the San Diego bands, like Payable on Death, you know, No Innocent Victim, or POD and NIV, and any of the San Diego bands, so Southern California.
Your label mates.
Label mates for a long time, yeah.
Did you do a lot of tours with those guys?
Yeah. We used to share a van and go on tour together with POD, you know, up and down the West Coast and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I think the Southern California kind of Tooth and Nail punk bands when we were not on Tooth and Nail.
She took a picture of us. Yeah. There's just like a picture of the screenshot of us.
Yeah.
Like Slick Shoes, Craig's Brother, like the punk band.
Oh, or Slick Shoes, I forgot about
them. The skate punk kind of, the Warp Tour kind of skate. Any bands who would be on Warp Tour who we knew or whatever. But then when we go to like the East Coast, it was like, you know, like you said, Theor Ephesus. We were actually really close with Squad 5-0 and Theor Ephesus for tours in a long time. And then, so I guess it was just kind of feeling a camaraderie in the punk rock community, as it were. And also kind of like being the outcast of the church in a way, because we were too like wild and unspiritual for the, you know, like we were trying to do this church thing, but like it wasn't good enough kind of. And I don't want to say the thing where they always say, oh, we weren't Christian enough for the Christians and we were too Christian for the seculars. It was more like, we were just too like.
But probably.
No. I mean, it was like that, but I don't want to always say that same thing.
Because you hear that said. Keep rehashing that.
You hear that said all the time, like on these interviews lately. It's more like
you weren't skillet enough for the Christians.
Yeah.
And you
Yeah.
You're going to cause the kids to stumble with that piercing.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Or like,
you have a tattoo. What?
You're talking about premarital sex and abortion in a song about, and you guys are Christians. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not saying it like the way you think I'm saying it. Or like, you know, like, I don't know. The homies were people who also got kind of what I was saying and could have our back if there was any. I mean, we got into like somewhat almost like physical altercations at Walmart in the Midwest, around the country sometimes for like, wait, we looked wrong, you know, like, you ain't from here, boy, you know, like stuff like that. Of course, right?
Yeah,
like,
I remember Squad 5-0 getting chased. We were playing a show and they went to, I think I've told the story on the show before, and we'll tell it because Jeff is coming next week. We're going to interview Jeff
Fortson.
Yeah, they were skating on like before the show. They went and they skated at like a park on a tennis court, mm-hmm. and these dudes like pulled up like, "Hey, what's you boys doing? Yeah. you boys ain't from around here, is ya?"
Yeah,
and so they were like chasing these guys and stuff like that, and they ended up, like, they would climb the fence and then the dudes would like run out of the tennis court and then they would climb back over.
Yeah.
And then the guys would run back in. So they were doing this. And then finally they got them where they just had them trapped on top of the fence. And you guys left to stay tuned next week to hear what happens to Squad Fable.
Oh, a cliffhanger.
Look at that hair.
I want to say that
you're
happened
like Static X.
Oh, classic.
But we were playing in Huntsville, Alabama, and they were
shout out NASA.
Hi, do you guys work for NASA? and we were
assholes.
Like, oh, sorry, we don't. And they're like, well, I could have sworn you did. All right, but do you have a concert?
Wrong answer, boy.
And then they came.
Wrong answer.
Dueling banjos.
Oh,
there it is.
Look at that hair.
Like, that's a haircut from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
That is a nice coif.
You did it, Reese.
I'm going to make my headphones bigger so they encompass.
What he does is he pours some of that honey bourbon into his hands, rubs it together, emulsifies it, and then rubs it in through the. I want to date you, Reese.
If I knew a Static X song, I would start singing it.
True. So yeah, back to the Brotherhood. The Brotherhood.
You know who else you look like with the headphones? Lobot from Empire Strikes Back.
Oh yeah. Okay.
No, that's Star Trek.
Star
Other
Trek.
Way.
That's Star Trek.
That's Star Trek.
Oh, Lobot's like this.
You know what,
guy?
Joe? Yeah. I remember just when you said that. I remember when we were spinny chair. we were on tour with you guys for like a tiny bit. I think it was part of that one last tour I was talking about on that last episode.
You guys really went on tour together?
It was like a 5-day thing. Maybe it was after that festival. I don't know. But we went to that because remember like one of your guys was involved with Salvation Army, like working for them or something like that.
Yeah, so, most of us were. Yeah.
So we got a couple shows booked through the Salvation Army, like the bigger Salvation Armies or whatever.
Yeah.
And we were backstage, quote unquote. It was just like a room somewhere.
Yeah.
One of the rooms. And you were big into fantasy football. And you guys were talking and I didn't know much about fantasy football. I still don't. But anyways,
you enjoyed fantasy.
You were talking about, I think, your grandma or something, Joe. And you're like, she called the show Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. She said Seinfeld. That Seinfeld is really funny. Something like that.
But exactly.
Always, yeah. Yeah. So I say Seinfeld a lot and people are like, shut the fuck up. Why are you saying that? I'm like, Joe's grandma.
I know. I say that too. Have you seen Seinfeld on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
Oh, yeah, it's my favorite. I love it. I was just talking about that the other day.
And I've done that to my kids. Whenever it's like a moment in front of their friends or whatever, I always try and say things wrong.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
You know, and to just get them to where they're like, oh my gosh, she's so old and embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And little do they know the wits that I have about me. I mean, look at Reese right now.
These kids
look at Reese. You want to talk about having your wits about you?
You're like 25, 26, Reese? You know?
Yep.
These kids, they're trying to be like, hey, you haven't heard the new like Lil Yachty or anything like that? I'm like,
I made a Lil Yachty joke today to my daughter and she goes,
"Dad, to me. You said one to me."
I mean, yes, and I read that text. I read that text and I said something about Little Yachty. And she goes, you know who Little Yachty is? And I'm like, yeah, dude, I listen to all his music.
You're like, I'm Lil Yurky, boo.
She was like, you do? I was like, no, I haven't heard, I don't know one of his songs. Yeah, but she didn't know that for a good 2 minutes. Yeah. She thought I was king of the world.
Got her. Stupid kid. Stupid kids.
Zowie.
Hi, Reese. Hi, Reese. Closing thoughts, Reese. What you got?
We have to close.
No,
we
do. You don't have to.
We're almost in 2 hours.
Thoughts.
You open up the door and you can let your feelings in.
Josh.
That's true, Joe. That's true. Okay, go. I'm sorry, Reese.
I got two questions. You pick.
I'm picking one of these two questions.
Who is the third most Mexican person in Five Iron Frenzy?
The third most Mexican.
Yeah. I mean, you
so
got
it's not the Ortegas. It's not the Ortegas.
Whose last name was Ortega.
So that's that doesn't count.
Then who is the
third? The third most Mexican?
Yeah. It's really important to me that you say it's me. That's really important to me.
I was going
to
say, yeah, I was going to say Reese Robert.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but then I was thinking like, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute.
His real name is actually Michael Reese Maria Conchita Gonzalez Roper.
Luis Roper.
Yeah, Luis Roper.
I was gonna
you always got to get a Maria in there, though.
That's my mom's name.
Points.
It's also one of my middle names.
Maria del Carmelita. And she technically, my mom technically has 11 names.
Holy smokes, Sam.
I'm just going to add to this argument that I've named my kids four names. They all have four names, both of them, because they
I Cody, want them, Guacamole.
I want people when they're like, who is the third most Mexican person in Five?
Cody, Tyler, Cooper, Roper.
Pumpkin Spice Latte, Roper.
So what's your mom's 11 names?
Let's see here.
They are complete honky names, so.
Oh, wait, your mom, Reese?
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Are you talking to me?
Yeah, Josh, what's your mom's 11 names?
Let's see here.
Your mom's.
Let's go.
11
names. Channel the ancestors here. Maria del Carmelita de Guanajuato Martinez. Okay, so it's only seven. Martinez Sandoval. I might be forgetting one, though. I thought there was more at one point.
Del and de count.
They're not names, but it's like words in the name.
What's the culture thing? Like, explain to me, white guy from suburbs of Detroit, when you said a lot of ancestry.
Do we have? Just kidding. So Maria del Carmelita is one name. That's one word or one person. Like she was named after. And that's
okay.
There's a lot of other ladies in Mexican culture named Maria del Carmelita. And my mom goes by Carmen, which is a shorter name of Carmelita. So those three words become Carmen. And then like Los Angeles, for example, the city of Los Angeles actually has more words than Los Angeles. It's like the ranch of the queen of Mexico or something like that. Like if you go into history, it's like, you know, all these words, but they shortened it to Los Angeles. So the queen
they shortened it to Los Angeles Doyers.
Yes, exactly.
Los Angeles Doyers.
And when they named the city, they knew Brooklyn Dodgers were going to come over and then
the '60s
and clear out this whole neighborhood of Chavez Ravine. And, you know, oh God, how much time do we have?
We're gonna go on a history lesson of Los Angeles.
So then her family is from Guanajuato in Mexico, in Jalisco, which is a state.
Okay.
And then, so she's
Jalisco's used to be a muffler and brake shop up here.
Yes.
Jalisco's.
That's where they got it, Joe.
Yeah. Maybe they're from there.
The muffler and
brake Mom Spaghetti. Brake
shop. They were like, let's name our state after this.
Maybe so, yeah. And Jalisco is technically the home of tequila. right? Oh. That has nothing to do with my mom's name. That has nothing to do with my mom's name. So anyways, and then her grandfather, my grandpa, her dad's last name, Sandoval, and then her mom's last name, Martinez, she technically gets both of those names because that's how it is down there.
Okay.
And then when she comes up here, they shorten it all to like, you know, an Americanized standard name.
Carmen Baker.
Yeah, exactly. Carr Jones. Or, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Now, is it the same with the like males? Like, do you have a big old name or you know,
no, not really.
Like, did your grandfather have
ancestors
put on
no.
there?
No, because by the time my mom married, she married a Greek American. So it was actually a Greek family name. And then, they decided not to give me like the full, like bicultural name of Mexican Kemper. And Greek. I'm Greek and Mexican. So I'm Grexican. yeah, I know.
Or you're meek.
Yeah. All that. Yeah, sure. I'll take that. I like that better. You know, I'm going to inherit the earth. I beat Reese to saying it.
Just like, hey guys, we're all so close. We all finish each other's
Pepsi
sandwiches. Oh, dang it.
Dang it. Iron Man cup. Okay. So anyways.
All right, guys. Yeah. Hey, we are at the 2 hour mark.
I'm not at the 2 hour mark.
The recording here. We're at the 2 hour mark.
You guys are.
All right.
I got work, man. I got work tomorrow. Look at that.
What?
Look at that big old finger.
Is that sushi? Is that nigiri in your pocket? Or are you happy sashimi?
That's fantastic. I like it.
On that note,
that's it, you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 72. Josh Kemble, Reese Roper, and Joe Yerke. And I'm sure we'll have Josh back on in any number of capacities in the future. All that good stuff.
Yeah, we need to get started on
Reese,
how much.
We hope your liver survives the night.
Oh man, it's fine.
Everything's fine.
Ow, it's fine.
It's great.
All right, you guys, have a good one. We will see you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Go listen to Skillet.
Go listen to Skillet or don't?
I don't know. You can hear what you want to hear, Reese.
You did it, you magnificent bastards. You did it. You made it this far into the episode, which is the end of the episode. Don't worry. I'm not going to talk to Joe and Reese anymore. Jeez. That was a long one, but we did it. We made it this far, and you got your whole life ahead of you. So I'm just going to say goodbye. I'll see you in the kitchen. I'll leave you with one last Toilet Rats song, but this one's not so synth poppy. Don't worry, but it's still good. So check out Toilet Rats. Check out the Pickle and Boot Shop, Joe and Reese, super longtime homies. Give them my love. Send them my love. I got links in the show notes. You can check out their Patreon. You can check out the Toilet Rats Bandcamp, Steadfast Records, all that good stuff. Discount codes in my link tree for coffee and records and Liquid Death and all this kind of stuff. So have fun, guys. I'll see you next one. Wait, that doesn't make sense. I got to go. So here's Black Box Recorder by Toilet Rats. And come say hi. I'll give you some lunch. Ciao.